puddings I've ever made, and I think one of the ones that I've enjoyed the most. It really is a marvellous experience for anybody to come and enjoy. On behalf of all our listeners across the world, thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed.
This is England is a One Voice media production, hosted by me, Liz Forden, produced by Chris Butterfield, and the sublime music was played by Neil O'Grady. For more information about this programme, the people who appeared in it, and the lovely music, please come to our website at www.one-voice.co.uk. We look forward to you joining us again next time. Until then, goodbye.
In today's society, we face many challenges and we have to make difficult choices every day.
We encourage you to listen to New Times on CJTR every Sunday morning beginning at 7:30 a.m.
New Times is a 90-minute program with a message of hope, inspiration, and information.
You will hear interesting guests sharing things about their lives and providing advice on how to meet the challenges of today's world.
Tune in to New Times Sunday morning, 7:30 to 9 a.m. on 91.3 FM CJTR, Regina Community Radio.
91.3 FM CJTR, Regina Community Radio. Thanks for their generous support. Brothers and Tyler Financial Consultants, 2300 Smith Street. The views and opinions expressed in this program are not necessarily shared by Radius Communications Incorporated, operators of 91.3 FM CJTR.
When you're growing up in a small town, when you're growing up in a small town.
Well, it's Friday morning. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to, once again, to Untitled. This is our weekly exploration into art exhibition and art events around Regina. And there's some very strange things happening in here. And at any rate, today we're going to be... Oh, first I would like to thank our sponsor, the McIntyre Street Gallery, for their generous donation and support. And I'd also like to... there's so much going on right now, I'm a little distracted. right, and so as usual, my name is Felipe Diaz, and joining me is Margaret Basai, and we have a special guest today from New Dance Horizons, Robin Poitra. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. Whoa, okay.
We're still suffering some
yeah, just a little technical difficulty.
Actually, this is the punk morning show. We're just going to sing a bit of feedback. I think it's the hoarfrost. It's creeping through the window, entering the space.
That's so strange. Okay, all right, let's... So, yeah, once again, I'd like to thank the McIntyre Street Gallery for their generous support. And I guess we'll just start talking about... I'm not even sure if we're still going out there, but I'd like to we'll start talking a bit about the performance itself. So, Robin, can you tell us a bit about what's going to happen tonight?
What's going to happen tonight? Well, we're going to have an incredible opportunity to see two fantastic... at the Sask Center for the Arts.
Good, and if, you know what, I'll just get you to say all that again into this microphone.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Something's happening. Oh, my.
Hello? Okay, I think we're going to do a little bit of testing. You're on the air. That's why we like to call this show Untitled. You never know what's going to
trouble with an impressionist? He looks at a log. He doesn't know who he is staring at this log. And surrealist memories are too amorphous and proud. While those downtown macho painters are just alcoholic. There's trouble with an impressionist. There's a trouble with an impressionist. There's a trouble with an impressionist. There's a trouble with an impressionist. Trouble with personalities, they're too wrapped up in style. It's too personal, they're in love with their own guile. They're like illegal aliens trying to make a buck. They're driving gypsy cabs, but they're thinking like a truck. There's a trouble with personalities. There's a trouble with personalities. There's a trouble with personalities. There's a trouble with personalities.
There we go. Now everything seems to be working all right again. So we'll just sort of try to pick up where we left off. Robin was just describing to us what's going to be happening. Oh, you know what? I'll just start over a bit more and just because there was a lot of interference there. Apparently. So it's Friday morning. We're doing Untitled again. You know, a weekly chance to go into the galleries, art exhibitions, art events around town, and just to get a sense of what's going on. So we're just trying to create like a doorway or a portal into those worlds.
Yeah,
Sorry.
This is Felipe Diaz, Margaret Basile, your host, and yeah. We've been doing this series on intermedia and what is performance and theater and dance and how all of these different categories or what we think of as categories have been flowing together. And so we're quite privileged today to have Robin Poitras here from New Dance Horizons, and we're going to talk about the performance tonight, Maurice Renard at the Center of the Arts.
So yes, as you so nicely mentioned there, Maurice Renard will be happening tonight at the Saskatchewan Center of the Arts. The show starts at what time does that thing?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Okay, so you should go out and get tickets before then and prepare for a wonderful dance performance beginning at 8 o'clock. So Robin was just about to tell us when everything went crazy for a little while there. What we can expect to see tonight. So, Robin, could you just start over again?
Okay. Well, tonight is an opportunity for an encounter with one of the, I think, great artists of our time. Maurice Renard is known as a choreographer, as a dancer, as an installation artist, and someone I would call a total artist. I think that she engages whatever media she needs to say what she has to say. And she's been doing that since her very early works, which in fact were more performative or performance art, I think, if one were looking at a category, than dance.
Right. So there's an interesting question that sort of brings up something that Margaret had mentioned earlier, where we were sort of making some kind of distinctions between sort of visual art concept of performance, a theater sense of what performance is, a film sense of what performance is, and a dance sense of what performance is. Do you know, do you think you could sort of try to get a handle on where Chouinard would position herself?
Well, I think for one thing, my sense of her work, having watched it for many years, is that there are three threads or practices that seem to be very much part of all of the works I've seen, and those are dance and choreography, sound or sonar world, and a visual world. And whether she's working completely independently or with collaborators in some of those other areas, she has an extraordinary ability to, I think, draw from different practices. And part of that may come from the fact that she's studied in many other cultures around the world. She worked in Bali for many years. So I think that, that her training as an artist has happened through various media as well. Sorry, are we?
No, I'm just, that there's something weird happening for a second. No, go ahead.
Are there Rice Krispies cracking again? Or is it the hoarfrost coming through the window? It's one of those February mornings. I was, this morning I, when I woke up, I was remunerating that Marie's been here to Regina on a few occasions, and each occasion has been the occasion of the deep freeze. So somewhere between January and February, and there's something incredibly, this is an artist who I think has managed to, I think ritually and artistically and as a being on the planet, has an engagement with the sun that is quite special, and she can and retain an extraordinary heat
right.
in her body.
Right.
And an incredibly creative source. I was looking at a David Suzuki program a few months ago. He did a series on, I think it was the elements, and I unfortunately only saw one of them, and it was the fire one, and one of the things that was talked about was how all of us carry a part of the sun in us. I was also talking about the possibility of fire and wood and the elements.
I guess the other question that I have, I'll just try to keep going here, is with that whole idea of the sun and heat being transferred and those sorts of events, do you start to pick up on that in her performances and writing?
I think so. There's one of the other things about that I need to mention is that it's rare to see incredible power and strength with softness and subtlety. There are very few sports, there are very few activities. I think watching whales, there are many creatures, I think, in the natural world that exhibit that balance or range or
right.
duality. And in Marie's work, it's metaphysical work, it's alchemist work, it's artistic work, it's poetic, it's functioning at so many levels.
Mm-hmm.
And because she's dealing with the body and its ability and its inability and its rawness, she's dealing with breath and the lungs and the organs and all of that viscera and the intelligence of the body and how it copes with, you know, a range of it's like watching a landscape. I mean, those bodies have gone up mountains and through valleys, and it's got a kind of not heroicness, but an incredible vigorosity physically, as well as intellectually. So it's rigorous in so many different ways. And she's working with long, long history of the body and you know, intelligences that I think always Emily comes into my mind. Vision has picked up the
right.
key that memory has dropped.
Right.
She's working with the old brain and the new
right.
brain.
Well, it's,
I really like that phrase, the intelligence of the body, and it's sort of you to elaborate a bit more.
Yeah, because the thing, just to expand upon that a bit as well, because I don't have very much experience with dance as a language itself, and I've seen the poster, and I've seen some of the other things that Marie has done during her visits here at different times, and so I guess the question I have is, it all seems like very formal in some ways, but also there's this idea of body intelligence and every, all those things that you were talking about as well. I think that I just would like to expand on that idea a bit and find out where exactly that is, or not even exactly, but just getting a bit more sense of what that is about.
Well, in terms of visual art language, if we're going to formalize it, which is another thing, Ruby Schwinar is she's a futurist, also. I think that
that's what a funny combination. Because futurists futurism is the light that one sees or before one remembers.
Yeah, but I think that there are epochs and points in history that ignite or invigorate long stretches or periods.
I can see the connection because the futurists were very interested in movement, and like they have paintings of movement and sculptures that depict movement. And they were interested in machine and movement of machine. And so you feel this comes through the dance choreography as well?
Yeah, well, I think that there's so many different, there's animism in the work. There's a futurist. It's a very unique language that Marie has created. It's an entire universe that engages particles and atoms and vacuity and the space moving. And while there are underlying traces or patterns or techniques that we might be familiar with, I think that there really is a new territory that she's explored in terms of the body and bringing to awareness or life a kind of a continuation on one hand of really ancient practices, but at the same time a very unique and personal viewing or looking at the world. So there's something of the archaeologist there.
We will actually see Marie on stage tonight. She's actually choreographed a group of dancers, right?
Yeah, Marie started off as a soloist and spent, I think it was maybe 10 to 12 years just doing solo work, and then started to do some duet and group works and formed her company in, I think the year was 1990. She's done several group works to date, but the company that are here in Regina tonight are 10 and really an extraordinary group of dancers that will be performing the works tonight. And there are two works. I'm not sure if you want to get into the detail of the works, but one is the 24 Preludes of Chopin, of course named after the music, and the other is Le Cri du Monde.
Robin, you've been a choreographer as well. What is it like to be the choreographer of other people on the stage? Like, do you have a visceral link with those people in the dance? Like, will the people on stage be doing stuff that's personal to them, or will they somehow be an extension of Marie?
Marie is I think, dealing with like any choreographer, and to different degrees, the universal body. So I think that every interpreter, in fact, is making the work, is manifesting the work at the moment that they do it, but the coding or the choreographic language which Marie has set forth is also there. So to make the work one's own, to fully dance it, one has to completely release all of the senses and the intelligence to the work. So
it's kind of a give and take between...
I think always.
That's
and I think that the ability to choreograph on other bodies, and I read this somewhere in an interview, Marie talked about the fact that having choreographed on a specific body her own gave her an understanding how to choreograph for specific bodies. And so one learns to choreograph, I think, always through one's own expression, whether one's the choreographer or not.
This morning, really briefly, we were discussing Le Cri du Monde, and you said the reaction to it's been quite incredible. That people, when they watched it, had to go home and put ice bags on their head and have it.
No. I was actually remarking, in the internet, I came across an interview where one of the dancers in the company was being interviewed about what appeared to be a very strongly kinetic, physical, visceral experience of performing this work. And the dancer said, yes, we get so, and I can't remember the adjective, but so moved or affected by the work that when it's over, to come back to a calm, we have to use ice packs and aspirin and beer. And I sort of
laughed.
And
I thought that was the audience.
No. It was one of the dancers that said this, but it kind of jumped out in an odd way in an interview because it had that resonance of perhaps People magazine and what are people really interested in talking about in terms of art. And I think that the performer's experience is enormously important, and that's what you're seeing on stage. That's the experience itself.
Yeah, because when I was talking about this, that those kinds of ideas with Margaret at some yesterday. We were discussing it a bit, and I was talking about Jose Navas's performance here. I don't remember what it was called. It's the last one with the cello.
Navas Haman.
Yeah, that's right. And it was a really great performance. And the reason that I felt so was because at one point during the performance itself, Jose stopped moving, and he actually sat down in a chair. And Haman stopped playing the cello and just sort of rested it. And these two chairs were sort of placed diagonally across the stage from each other, and they just sat there silently for, you know, what seemed like ages, which was probably just a couple minutes. But what the sense that I started getting was that I started to become aware of all the noises in the theater. Like, the lights are still on in the theater. Everyone can see everyone else. There's never a moment when you're sort of putting yourself into a different world. You're quite actively there, and then I started to become aware of my body in that space and the way that I was moving and the sounds that my body was making. Like, all that stuff was sort of happening at once, and I just thought that was a really interesting way and a very invigorating way to start participating in a dance performance. So I, you know, in terms of like, this is the kind of thing that I guess I'm hoping for with Marie Chouinard as well, because her works also seem so visceral and so strongly body oriented, and maybe that also has to do with that idea of body intelligence as well that keeps coming up.
That's a wonderful story. Nice experience you have there. I'm trying to think about the first time that I saw the work. I remember I was approached by, I'm pretty sure it was Heather Elton. I looked for Heather's review on the show. This was a couple of years ago. Right after the show, people, you know, it was the, I think it was the premiere, or certainly it was the first time it had been in Ottawa, but I think it was a premiere, and or the Canadian premiere anyway, and I found myself almost, not disturbed, but there was a little bit of an edge. I wasn't comfortable in my body, in myself, in my mind, and it was a fleeting kind of feeling. It wasn't like horror or doom, but there was something that had been disconnected or opened up, or I couldn't quite put a tap on
right,
it.
Right.
And I remember Heather saying, "Well, what did you think?" And she was also having quite a kind of mixed response. And I felt like I had been watching insects, and they were human, but they were. It was like I'm thinking about the horror movie where they go into outer space, an alien, or not that it was like that. But
right.
There
right.
was something before human, after human. I don't know, some kind of a grafting of human, some kind of insect memory. They were like feeding off of each other or eating each other, or there was cannibalism. There was such a myriad and an intensity and a multitude of images that would just move through at a point. And earlier when you were talking about stillness and silence,
right?
You know, in the Cagean sense, it's so true that things can shift or be moved, and one's perception is often awakened by just another way of looking.
Right.
And I think this is one of the things that Marie brings to the stage that is so, so unique, in her ability to really scan at a glance the history of dance or theater or silent movies, or she has very large and long sweeping gazes that through which, I mean, I'm describing a process which I don't know anything about. I only see the work.
Right. Well, you know,
but it's rich work, and it's really deep, and there's lots of poetry, and there's lots of metaphor, and I actually brought in something that I found that I'd love to read.
Okay.
You have another question? So.
No. Go right ahead. Please.
It may seem like an odd thing to do on a radio show, but, and I bring this forward out of, in fact, an interview that I had this summer, and someone asked me, you know, who was my greatest inspiration or influence. In fact, I said, well, you know, there are a number of people, and some of them are in the dance world and some are in other worlds, and certainly Marie Chouinard is one of the great inspirations, I think, certainly of my work as a presenter and an artist.
And I remember seeing her Rite of Spring for the first time in Ottawa, again at the Canada Dance Festival. And after seeing the program, I drove out to the Gatineau in a car that I had rented. That's where I was staying. And I was with Sandy McKenzie, the general manager at the time. And as we drove through the country, we got to the point where we were now actually going to have to find the cottage, which wasn't going to be easy because it was dark and it was a path that we didn't really know. And suddenly this rabbit appeared out of nowhere, a white rabbit in the dark, and I think it was caught in the lights of the car, and it sort of did this zigzagging crossing and somehow led us literally to the entrance of the place that we were going. And we got out of the car and went to go into the house, and there in the backyard was a field, not one and not a cluster, but a field of fireflies. And we went to sleep that night, and later were woken up by a blue herring, or rather, blue herrings that were getting it on in the night and making these most extraordinary, a kind of throat singing, not unlike what pelicans do.
Right.
And, you know, Marie engages this kind of a sonar landscape almost always in the work, whether it's audible or not. You become aware of the breathing and the rhythm of the breath. It's not unlike watching the ocean or, you know, feeling the sea. There's a pulse. So she's connecting with perhaps the moon. I don't know what the dancers are connecting with. Certainly,
right.
It's an orchestration or a symphony of the body.
Yeah.
I mean, when you jump that hard and that high and scream that loud and move with that much intensity, you invigorate and stimulate galaxies inside the body. And so that's going on, and then you have a multiplicity of bodies doing that, and you start to see quite amazing things, but I'll quickly read this.
Okay.
This is Marie's words. I believe that at the heart, at the very heart of infinitesimal particles of matter, there exists a code, a desire to move, of which the phenomena called life is the manifestation. To create is to make manifest, to celebrate. Gotee believed that the form of a plant reproduces the movement deep within its cells. Thus, if the cells of a seed contain a spiral-shaped pulsation, the resulting plant will fall flower in space like a spiral.
Isn't that beautiful? That's amazing. And now we have to close our show by giving tickets away.
Right on.
We've sort of coming to the end of the program here. Sorry for all those technical difficulties. But yes, we do have two tickets to give away for Marie Chouinard for the performance this evening. Again, the performance is at the Center for the Arts. It's at 8 o'clock p.m., and that's today. So,
and how can we call in for tickets, Phil?
Right. Wait a second. So we do have two tickets to give away, and they'll go to the first caller, and the number is 525-7274. So again, to the first caller, two tickets for Marie Chouinard's presentation tonight, and it's 525-7274. Okay, so that being said and done, I'd like to, we should probably get ready to sign off. I'd like to thank our guests today, Robin, for coming in and helping us with so much insight into this wonderful performance tonight, and to Bearing with the Hoarfrost. And I'd also like to thank Margaret again, as usual, for being here with us. Great.
Thanks, Margaret and Felipe.
Oh.
Thanks a lot. And once again, a big thank you to our sponsor, the McIntyre Street Gallery. Bye-bye, everyone.
The trouble with the classicist, he looks at a tree. That's all he sees, he paints a tree. Trouble with the classicist, he looks at the sky. He doesn't ask why, he just paints the sky. The trouble with an impressionist, he looks at a log. He doesn't know who he is standing, staring at this log. And surrealist memories are too amorphous and proud. While those downtown macho painters are just alcoholic. The trouble with impressionist. There's a trouble with impressionist. There's a trouble with impressionist. There's a trouble with impressionist. trouble with personality is they're too wrapped up in style. It's too personal. They're in love with their own guile. They're like illegal aliens trying to make a buck. They're driving gypsy cabs, but they're thinking like a truck. There's a trouble with personalities. 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 Druggy downtown kids who spray paint walls and trains. I like their lack of training, their primitive technique. I think sometimes it hurts you when you stay too long in school. I think sometimes it hurts you when you're afraid to be called a fool. There's trouble with classes. There's a trouble with classes. There's a trouble with classes. There's a trouble with classes.
Company Marie Chouinard is coming to Saskatchewan. Join us for an unforgettable evening of